Hey everyone, thank you for listening to the Focus Point Podcast. I'm really glad you decided to give us a listen. I hope that the words that you hear will encourage you and bless you. I encourage you also to share this with your family and your friends. If you need more information, you can head over to thepointoffocus.com where you'll find other podcast episodes, blog posts, videos, and just some more general information about our ministry. Thank you again for listening. I hope you enjoy the episode. Well, today we are starting a new series within our Exodus series called When God Rolls Up His Sleeves. And we are going to be in Exodus 2 and 3 today. So if you have a copy of the Bible handy, whether it's paper or electronic, let's get turned there. We will actually be in Exodus 2:11 through the entirety of chapter 3. But we're going to do a little bit different today. And we are going to paraphrase some of the story as I've done in the past, and we'll be reading mostly out of Exodus 3. So where we've been so far and what we've seen, our theme for this series continues to be, because it's still a part of the Exodus series, continued faithfulness as we are continuing on in this journey to the Promised Land. Now, where we've been so far with Moses is we've seen the Israelites Promised Land, pretty much. And this indeed is a Promised Land for them. They came and were saved from a famine. That's important to know. So this Egyptian time was kind of like a Promised Land for them. Otherwise, they would have died in the famine. And we've seen how that's kind of gone from bad to worse, even. As a new pharaoh came into leadership, and it's kind of went from a promised land to a prison as they've now become slaves. And at the end of chapter 1, when we looked, they had all been required to kill their baby boys. And so we talked about that a little bit, and we also noted a promise in that first episode of the Exodus series that God would come back for them, and that God would return them to the land of Canaan, the land that he had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's what Joseph said kind of in his dying breath, his last few words. And then we looked last week at the beginning of Moses' journey, right? The beginning of Moses' story and his birth and what his mother did in faith that God was going to keep him safe. And she put her baby in a basket and she sent it on down the river, and it wound up coming back. Her faithfulness was rewarded, her trust in God and staying with God and knowing that it wasn't right to kill her baby, and that he was an exceptional child, the Bible says. So God brought her back, brought Moses back to her, and she was able to take care of him, and she actually got paid to take care of him. And her faith is shown there. It's actually recorded in Hebrews 11, we looked at briefly, where lots of people who've had faith, and it's kind of called the Hall of Faith chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, and it's noted in there how Moses' mother had faith, right? And we see this as a part of a bigger plan, and how God had a bigger plan for Moses. And we talked about that a little bit in our Dreams series, that God's plans are good. God's got good plans for us, right? And their plans to make us prosper, their plans to help us, and their plans to grow us and encourage us. They're not meant to lead us to disaster. And so this plan of putting Moses in the river was a sign of faithfulness to God and trust in God. That God was going to keep him safe, no matter if he came back to her or not. That Moses was going to be safe. And so now we're fast forwarding in the story a little bit, because the Bible does. It's not a choice here by us. As we see here, just real briefly in chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "Many years later, when Moses grew up." And so now we've kind of took him from a baby, lifted him out of the water. He's some, you know, X number of years old by the time his mother returned him to Pharaoh's daughter. And now As I said, verse 11, it says, many years later, when Moses grew up, he went out to visit his own people, the Hebrews, and he saw how hard they were forced to work. During his visit, he saw an Egyptian beating one of his fellow Hebrews. So now Moses has also realized that he's got Hebrew in him, that he's more Hebrew than he is Egyptian. And so he didn't like this. And so he winds up killing an Egyptian. He winds up doing that because he gets angry, and he killed him and he hit him in the sand. And so he's trying to give orders here, and he sees some men fighting, and they see, he tries to make peace with this, right? He sees them fighting, and he questions them, you know, hey, why are you guys fighting? Why are you beating on your friend and all of this? And then now in verse 14, let's read that. And it says, the man replied, who appointed you to be our prince and our judge? Are you going to kill me as you killed that Egyptian yesterday? Then Moses was afraid, thinking, everyone knows what I did. And sure enough, Pharaoh heard what had happened and tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to the land of Midian. And so now we're going to fast forward a little bit in his story. There's a lot of stuff in here, but we're going to continue Moses' story a little bit here. So now he's tending sheep. And he's sitting out and he's watching his flocks and he's doing all of that. Remember, he fled. So one of the first things that I want to kind of present here is the idea that sometimes we think we've done something that isn't good. We've done something that isn't good, and we think God doesn't care about us anymore. We think that God can't use us anymore. We think that God distances himself from us. But it's all the different. God does distance himself from sin. We have to be truthful and honest with that. God does distance himself from that. But God doesn't disqualify us because of that. God wants us to be in a right relationship with him. God is a relational God. And so he wants us to be there, right? And so I picture Moses now, like, he was once high royalty, and now he's watching sheep. And let's kind of see what happens with Moses. And we're going to get kind of a continuation of what I've already talked about, and we're going to see another point that I believe God has for us in this text. As we read Exodus 3, we're going to read all the way down to verse 15, and we are going to start now. Okay, Exodus 3, verse 1, it says, one day Moses was tending the flock for his father-in-law Jethro, a priest, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. And that's going to come into play again. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it did not burn up. This was amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't the bush burning up? I must go see it. As would a lot of people, right? If you saw something that was on fire, a building, a house, a bush, a tree, grass, whatever it was, and the object on fire was not burning up, that would be an interesting phenomenon for us. If a house was just on fire and it wasn't burning up, or if you lit a piece of paper on fire and it wasn't burning, it was just on fire, it wasn't turning to ash. This was a phenomenon, and I don't blame Moses for going like, huh, that's interesting. Because the first thing you don't think of when you see this is like, oh, God must be in that bush. No, he's trying to figure out why this bush is not burning up. So verse 4, when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called from the middle of the bush, Moses, Moses. Here I am, Moses replied. Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. So now, this is where we see this. He was afraid to look at God. And how many times do we think that we've done something and we're just ashamed to look at God? We think that God is ashamed of us. We think that God is distant from us, like, you know, and this is how Moses felt. First of all, Moses was on holy ground, okay? And that goes deeper into the fact that, as I said, sin can't be in the presence of God. Okay? We see that throughout different parts of the story where God is instructed to, where God's instructions are, don't, like, don't come any closer, don't do this, don't touch the mountain when they get the Ten Commandments. And even in the Garden of Eden, like, if God was present in that garden with Adam and Eve, once they sinned, they couldn't be there anymore. And so that's what he's saying here, is Moses isn't right to be in the presence of God. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that too, in a couple episodes, in a few episodes, when we look at the sacrifice system and how, what that all means and why this was a really strict thing. It's just simple. God is holy. God can't, sin can't be in his presence. And so Moses, having done what he did, couldn't be in the presence of God. So he was instructed to not come any closer. And Moses covered his face and he was afraid to look at God. And like I've said, as I've heard it many times, the title of this episode, if you're not dead, God's not done. And sometimes we do something or we make choices or life comes along and we just think that we are not good enough for God anymore. We think that what we've done is causes us to be disqualified from doing anything for God anymore. And it just that feeling that comes, right? We just feel that way. But the thing is that that's not the way God looks at us, because God died for us. Jesus died for us even while we were still sinners. As Romans 5 tells us, we were still sinners and Christ died for us still. So even then, God died for us. And that's important to understand. So Moses here, God wasn't done with Moses. Yeah, he did something. Yeah, it wasn't what God would have wanted him to do, and it wasn't the best choice, and all of that, and we could talk about all of that. But the importance here is God wasn't done with Moses. Sometimes we get done with ourselves, like Moses. Like Moses was tending sheep. He was done with all of that. He was done. And sometimes we feel that way. We feel like we've done too much, and we can't do anything else, and God won't accept us back, and we can't, all of that. And it's just a place to get into. But God can continue to use us. God can continue to grow us. God can continue to bless us. Because after all, his promise to us is that he wants us to have a good life. He wants us to have a prosperous life, as we see in Jeremiah 29:11. So now, what happens here? So God has come for Moses, right? He lit a bush on fire to get Moses' attention, and now he's got a command for Moses. More like really a commission, not a command, but like, okay. So verse 7, and it says, "The Lord told him, 'I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering.'" At the end of Exodus 2, it says that years passed, and I kind of left this out on purpose, but it says years passed and the king of Egypt died, but the Israelites continued to groan under the burden of slavery. They cried out for help, and their cry rose up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered the covenant promise he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He looked down on the people of Israel and knew it was time to act. So that's Exodus 2:23-25. And then we see here, "I have seen the oppression of my people. I have heard their cries of distress." Verse 8, "So I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of the land of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It's a land flowing of milk and honey. It's a land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, and Jebusites now live." Some of those get tripped up a little bit. Verse 9, it says, "Look, the cry of my people the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how the Egyptians have, I've seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh, and you must lead my people out of Egypt. There it is, right there. All of that, pretty much 7 through 10, God is rolling up his sleeves. At the end of chapter 2, where we see it's time to act, right? God is rolling up his sleeves, and he's ready to do some business. He's ready to get the people. And so, as we see this unfold, right? Now, what happens here? But Moses protested. Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead your people out of Egypt? God answered, I will be with you. I will be with you. And this is your sign that I am the one who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship at this very mountain. But Moses protests that if I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God said to Moses, say to the people, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations. There's an episode in our archive called Yahweh that we looked at this very name of God's. You can go and check that out. A link will be in the description of this episode, and you can go check that out a little bit more. But God is pretty much, Moses is already, we're gonna look a little bit more at the struggle that God and Moses have. Okay, because we've all been there. But we're going to save that for then, so let's put that over there. And we're going to focus here that this was a big ask, right? But the thing is what I see here is that God hears us. When we cry out for help, when we cry out to him, God hears us. He says here that I have certainly heard the cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. I have heard their distress. I have heard my people. And God comes to the rescue. God rolls up his sleeves and he's ready to do business. And God is coming to Moses. This was God's plan all along for Moses. He kept him safe in the river. And now he's sent him away here. And now Moses probably thought he had hung up his hat, he was done. He just thought he was going to tend sheep for the rest of his life. And now God has called him to go back to the place where he once lived, where he once was, to get these people. So what I want to say here is, one, that if you're not dead, God's not done. We all make mistakes. And I know that the heat that comes from that statement, well, we can't just live our lives and all this stuff like that. But nowhere in the Bible does it ever say that just because we accept Jesus into our life and start to follow Jesus and we're following him every step of the way means that it's instantaneous perfection. That's reserved for Jesus. We're not Jesus just because we accept Jesus into our life. We don't become Jesus. So we're still prone to mistakes. Because if we weren't, Jesus wouldn't have done anything different. If we just accepted Jesus and we all became perfect, we couldn't make any mistakes. But Jesus died for the sins of the people. That is what he did. So it makes us imperfect. And because of that, we can still make mistakes. We act out of our emotions. We act out of our situations, right? Moses acted out of his emotions, and he killed an Egyptian because of it. Because he saw that he knew he was beating one of his own people, and he was upset about it. And he acted out of his emotions. And now, some years later, God is commissioning Moses. Hey, come on. Let's go get my people. Let's go get them out of Egypt. That is what God does. God calls us out even though we've messed up some. He doesn't want us to be perfect. That's not what he designed us to be. That's not what he is what he wants, is what he desires from us. But we still make mistakes because we're human. And I know that gets a lot of heat and a lot of attention when people say that. Well, you can't just... Knowing Jesus and having eternal salvation is not a chance to just do whatever you want and then still go to heaven. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the mistakes that we make. And all of that stuff is still there. Just because we've accepted Jesus doesn't mean that that changes. And here Moses had done some of the same kind of stuff. But God's still... So if you're not dead, God's not done. Okay, I know that's a long-winded and probably some repetitive stuff. But if you're not dead, God's not done. God still has more for you. Even when you think that you don't have any more, even when you think that you've done something that's inexcusable, there's no way God is going to ever use you again, use your story, because if you tell your story, all you're going to do is just stir people up and it's not going to go positive and all of this stuff like that. God can't possibly use anymore. I'm done. That's not true. God can still use you. I've seen it happen. I've heard of stories where people are just down and out and they just think that they can't do anything else because they've battled addiction, they've battled alcoholism, they've battled porn, they've battled drugs, all of these things, they've been abusive or whatever, and they think that they just can't turn it around. They think that God doesn't have anything for them. But some of those people are the greatest advancers of the kingdom, because they have stories to tell and they know how to help people. So God isn't done yet. And number two, God hears us. God hears us. But the thing is sometimes we got to listen back. We can cry out to God and we ask for something specific and it doesn't come in that way. But just a few steps to the right, God is working. God is coming to your rescue, but it's not the way you wanted it. It's not packaged the way that you thought it would be. And so we miss it. And then we get mad. Oh, God didn't hear me. God doesn't care. God doesn't hear me. I cried out to him and it says that he, all this stuff. God does. We have to turn it back on. Communication is two ways. Even with God, right? We hear that with communication in a relationship or in a friendship or in any other kind of, it's a big important thing. Well, communication with God is too. You can't cry out to him. By the way, no matter how you talk to God, God can take it. Okay. God wants us to talk to him. We talked about that too in a prayer series that we did at the beginning of last year. That's also in the archive, called Talking to Jesus. And that in that series, we talked about God. We can come to God just as we are. We can say what we want to say. We can word it how we want to word it. God is not looking for a specific kind of style of words to use. But God hears us when we cry out to him. But the thing is we have to listen back. We can't yell out and then turn off the radio and not hear him talk back. It's like using a walkie-talkie, right? And saying, hey, calling out to whoever has the walkie-talkie at the other end, and then turning them off and waiting for that friend to come back, and then being like, dude, you never responded to me. I called you on the walkie-talkie. You never responded. But we turned it off. And that's sometimes how this kind of thing works. We cry out to God, and because he doesn't act as soon as we pray or as soon as we cry out to him, just because he doesn't act just like that, we get bummed and we get mad and we get upset at him and we start to miss what he's actually doing. And I'm wondering if Israel was starting to feel that way. They've cried out to God now for many years because of their oppressive, the oppressive slave drivers. And God says right here, I've heard them and now I'm sending you to them. And maybe as I'm sitting here, this is just as I'm recording this, maybe God... Maybe you're an answer to somebody's prayer that we're supposed to go and do that. So my encouragement is, and I hope this has been encouraging to you, that maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking that God will never use me again. I've messed up too much. But he will, because you're still alive. You still have purposes for God. And maybe you think that God doesn't hear you, or God doesn't listen, or God doesn't care. Maybe you're in that space. And God does hear you, and God does care for you. And maybe, just like I've had to do sometimes, maybe we just need to sit back and figure it out. Figure out what God's trying to do. Like when I lost my job, I asked God, What are you doing? Why is this happening? And eventually I kind of calmed down a little bit, right? Like you're getting off kind of like the big emotional thing. Like you'd been, like I'd been at this job for 7 years and all of a sudden they just made up a story, fired me over it, and it turned into this big long unemployment battle and all of this mess. But I was upset about it. Like, why? Why now? Like, we're getting, like, it was already coming out of the pandemic as it was. So there was already some rough stuff there. And it's just this idea that I lost my job. And I didn't do anything. Like, I didn't understand it. And it was like, God, why? Why? You know? And then as time went on, Elevation Worship released an album. And there was a song in there called Gyra. And maybe you've heard that song. And it got me thinking about it in a different way. Not, why did you do this? Or why is this happening? It's more, what am I going to learn in this season? And so I started to look at it a little bit differently. And maybe you're just kind of like, maybe that's the encouragement you needed. Maybe you just need to kind of like, hey, God, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to teach me here? Where am I at? And that maybe that's how you kind of close the distance between what God is trying to do and what you're trying to do, right? Because that's how we miss sometimes. We're crying out to God to do in a specific kind of way, and our mindset is that way, right? And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in the coming weeks of this When God Rolls Up His Sleeves series. But maybe God is working. Maybe it's a shift of focus. Maybe it's supposed to be, hey, okay, what are you trying to show me, God? What are you trying to teach me? What am I trying to learn? What am I trying to... all of this stuff. Maybe that's how we can see more about what God is trying to do. Because God does hear us. God's got his ear tuned to us. He's attentively listening to us. So I hope that encourages you. God's not done. God hears you. We just got to listen back. So, like I said, I hope this encouraged you. I hope this blessed you. I hope you'll share it along with your family and your friends. And I hope that you'll come back next week as we continue on in this book of Exodus, and we continue on in the Journey to the Promised Land series, also the When God Rolls Up His Sleeve series. So we got kind of like a lot of little things going on here, but it's really impactful stuff, I think. And especially as we go through some more of this book of Exodus, we will start to kind of see this continued faithfulness and this journey that they're on. And we'll start to kind of see some things that really kind of settle in into our lives. So I hope you'll come back next week, and I hope we'll continue on in this journey together. See you next week.